वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning, from the third canto, chapter 2, text 23. What are you doing, Kaurabhai? Yeah, but Saranga has to learn this, no? Would you like to see what he does?
It's actually going.
It's going, yeah? Yeah? So, right, good. Yeah. Yeah, but it's good, Saranga, if you do the checking, because Gaurahari is with us 2 days or 3 days more, then he will be, you are the new man. Aho!
Aho!
I forgot to tell you, it's the third canto, chapter 2, text 23. It's one of the most favorite verses of devotees, when they think about Krishna's qualities of showing mercy to the undeserving people. Because of lack of time, I will just go quickly through the Sanskrit. Aho bakiyang stanaka lakutam.
Aho bakiyang
Digang saya payayat apyasadvi. Lebe gatim dat yuchitam tatonyam.
Lebe gatim dat yuchitam tatonyam.
Kang vadayalum sharanam vajema. Bakiyang stanakalakutam.
Aho bakiyang stanakalakutam.
Digang saya payayad apyasadvi.
Digang saya payayad apyasadvi.
Lebe gatim dad yuchitam tatonyam.
Lebe gatim dad yuchitam tatonyam.
Kang vadayalum sharanam Brajema. Yes, please. Someone else.
Kamadayalum sharanam
vrajena. much. Hare Krishna, thank you, Pujari Mahachai. You are our great friend. We will go direct. Actually, we can do the word by word. Aho, alas, Baki, the she demon Putana, young, whom, oh sorry, whom, Stana, of her breast, Kala, deadly, Kutam, poison, Yigang Shayaya, out of envy, Apayaya, nourished. Api, although Asadvi, unfaithful. Lebhe, achieved. Gatim, destination. Datri Uchitam, just suitable for the nurse. Tataha, beyond whom? Anyam, other. Kam, who else? Va, certainly. Dayalum, merciful. Sharanam, shelter. Brajema, shall I take? This is Uddhava. Thinking about Krishna, remembering Krishna very dearly. Krishna has left the planet and Uddhava is back. He remained back. He had a mission to fulfill for Krishna, otherwise he would have left. And he sits now there. He's on his way through to Bhadarikashrama. He's going through the valleys of India, crosses mountains. And one day he pauses and he thinks about Krishna. And not just about Krishna, he thinks about the mercy of Krishna. So he then calls out this verse. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So Uddhava thinks, my God, Krishna is so merciful that he accepted even someone who wanted to kill him, who was without any Shraddha. How merciful the Lord is. There's no better one to take shelter than this merciful Lord. So Prabhupada gives a beautiful explanation in his purport. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a nobleman accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one would accept nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, Krishna was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon, who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no one less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee, Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He's always the Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe penance, can never ever become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Oh, look at this. This is the standard of Krishna's character. What a wonderful character. He accepts the least qualification. You know, even if there's only a little amongst a pile of disqualifications, he accepts that little qualification and then turns around and awards him or gives him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Supreme Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Let us pray. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askachare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's nowadays like this that the devotees who listen to the MP3 recordings are in the majority of this. There's always a huge audience outside, so we have to keep them in mind. Let us again listen to this extraordinary verse. I once heard that Srila Jiva Goswami takes this verse as a proof of Krishna's extraordinary mercy, which is very unusual, because he does look on people differently than we, for instance, as conditioned souls, look on people. Krishna just doesn't see the faults. Imagine that. And we see only faults. He doesn't see the faults of someone, but what he sees is the qualification, even if it is just so very little. And this is surrounded, this little qualification. There's so much bad things and conditioned things. Krishna prefers to see just this little qualification. It just doesn't see the disqualification. It reminds us of a song about Lord Nityananda, Adoshana Nitai, you know, he who never sees any fault in someone. He goes begging house to house in Navadvip to convince people to take to the name of Gauranga. Then they shut close the door in his face, you know. No, we don't want to hear about this Gauranga. We don't want to hear our chanting. He doesn't think, Kamis, you know. He just sees, well, they have said already Gauranga's name. They said, we don't want Gauranga, but there is Gauranga in their mouth. That's their qualification. Then he's just overwhelmed. He He throws himself on the ground. He rolls about and says, "Say Gauranga, say more." And the people again open their door. And because they see Lord Nityananda rolling on the ground like a golden mountain, you know, Lord Nityananda looks extraordinarily beautiful. They say a little bit more Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And that's how their spiritual life starts. So, adosha darshan, not seeing a mistake, that is divine. Seeing mistakes is not actually a sign of divine qualities. It's a sign of material qualities. Don't know if you are like me, I also always see mistakes. It's terrible. It's very bad. And we will hear about this thing now, this, how it is so bad to see always disqualifications and how we can make great mistakes by this materialistic vision. We will hear about this today in regards to Gadadhar Pandit. As we have heard yesterday, Gadadhar was renounced from his childhood. He was a brahmachari. He was very devoted to spiritual practice. He got up extremely early and he kept all the possible rules which you could imagine. Much more like the, like our brahmacharis can imagine today to do. And it so happened that he had a very good friend in Mukunda. Mukunda was a physician. Mukunda was a singer, a great singer. And he was married, but Gadadhar liked him very much. And one day Mukunda came to Gadadhar and said, "Gadadhar, would you like to see a real Vaishnava?" Gadadhar, that was all what he wanted to see. He was only surrounding himself with good Vaishnavas, and he was only interested in this. And he said, "Of course, save my life, bring me to a real Vaishnava." And as the two friends, then Mukunda said, "Then come along, I have a great surprise for you. You will see Pundarik Vidyanidhi today. It will be an experience." So Gadadhar, trusting the words of Mukunda, his friend, walked, and as he was walking on the street, he could not contain this ecstasy, and he again and again said, "Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
oh Krishna,
oh Krishna."
He was just so enthusiastic because he would now see a real Vaishnava. Now when they came to the residence of Pundarik, he had something like a, you could say in modern terms, a holiday house. He lived in Bangladesh, but he would come from time to time to Navadvip and stay in a house of his own, because he was, as you see, he was not poor. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sitting very comfortably, and Gadadhar offered obeisances. So Vidyanidhi inquired from Mukunda, whom he knew already, "What is the name of this boy? From which village does he come? I can see that his body is effulgent. He has an effulgence because he is practicing devotion. Can we also, do you have seen this? When you see a good Vaishnava, you feel, you know, he has an effulgence. You feel he's free from the clouds of worries, the clouds of so many so many mental things, you know. He's very, very wonderful. Who is he?" said Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda said,
His name is Gadadha.
He's very fortunate because from early childhood on, he is detached from family life. He's the son of the Brahmana Sri Madhava Mishra. And he's extremely dear to all the devotees here in Navadvipa because he engages always in devotional service. When he heard that you have come, he was very anxious to meet you. Now, when Punarig Vidyanidhi heard about the qualities of Gadadha, because he's an all-knowing Vaishnava, he must have felt, I will show this Gadadha that there's something which he doesn't yet know. You know, like Vaishnavas are. Have you ever met these Vaishnavas? They will look like laser into your mind. Then you go like, please don't look at me so much. You know? And then they spot just the right thing, your weak point. And then they go, why did you do this? You know, they... Have you noticed in your life that this happens to you? It's the greatest mercy. So, he sat up like a prince. He was on a bed which was made of beautiful wood. It was covered with brass and reddish stone inlay work. When you visit our Munich temple, you see everywhere these beautiful, beautiful Arabic decorations, you know, beautiful stone inlay work. There was brocade cloth coming, you know, like this over him. I can just see it before me. He was seated on a very soft mattress, not like this. See, this is very hard, very soft, with expensive sheets and silk pillows were there on the back. On both sides of him, there were many small little pots with, you know, little sweets, little things for the mouth, to freshen up the mouth. There was a nice shining brass plate. I'm reading all of this because I can't remember this. This nice, neatly prepared betel pan upon it. We Vaishnavas don't eat betel because if you put it into your mouth, you get a little, you know. When you chew betel and betel pan, your reds and your lips and your teeth get all red. You know, so he had red teeth and red lips. And he had something like a spittoon. You know, where you spit and he would go like like this, you know. He wore a tilak made of sandalwood paste. And this is really wild. It's like a man who starts to put shmink on himself, you know. There was a red dot in it. It looked like Michael Jackson. His face was decorated with dots made from a mixture. Listen to this, Radha Flavini. Mixture of sandalwood and perfume smell, in other words. And as far as his hair was concerned, you know, it was very nicely groomed, you know, nicely arranged, and shining with her perfume. You know, it had a glimmer. You know, just already from 50 meters, you could smell his hair. It was so fragrant, his hair. Hare Krishna. Two persons stood left and right from him. They had these long peacock feathers, fans, you know, really long, and they were fanning him. Nice breezes in Gadara. Could smell the wonderful smell of Pundari. You know, he looked as beautiful as the god of love. The Mataji's, the chin is dropping. My God, does he look beautiful? Those who didn't know him would consider him a prince because everything around him gave the impression that he was a man given to luxury and finance. Now, when Gadadha saw this, he reacted like most of us would have reacted who are beginners on the spiritual path. He could not see, you know, that what makes up a Vaishnava is that a deep love for Krishna, which the Vaishnava always tries to keep hidden. You know, he will never ever show that. And he just found fault. He thought, I'm detached, I'm only eating once a day in the noontime. I take my bath in an ice cold weather, even in morning time at 2 o'clock in the Ganga. I never wear new cloth, I just get old cloth. You know, I'm very renounced. Why did Mukunda bring me to this person? He looks like a materialist. Was this a bad joke? And his suspicion grew and grew and grew. Now Mukunda could understand the mind and heart of Gadadha Pandit. Thus, he thought, I will now reveal the inner heart of Pundarik Goswami, Vidyanidhi, which he tries carefully to hide from the public face. I will do something. And in a very sweet voice, which makes him the favorite singer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started to sing a verse from the Bhagavatam, where the Bhagavatam describes the glories of bhakti. You know. Remember, he wanted to show, he wanted to bring out the inherent bhakti which Pundarik was hiding from the public. And so he chanted this verse. We can all chant it together in a beautiful voice. It's there on the table. Should really try to sing it very beautifully. Ao bakiyang stanakalakutam jikang shayapaya yadapya sadvi lebe gatim dadyuchitam tatonyam kangva dayalum sharanam vadema kangva dayalum sharanam vadema. Alas! Alas means in Serbian language, oh vaya! How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, although this demon was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. As soon as these words about the glories of bhakti, that even a small bhakti moves the heart, like Putana's, you know, she gave him her breast, you know, which is a motherly action. As soon as this verse entered the ears of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he stopped. And from deep within, an ocean of tears started to rise to his eyes. You know, tears must always come from the heart. And he started to cry without a sound, as if the Ganga was streaming out of his eyes. It was an ocean of tears, not just a drop or something. At the same time, he was attacked by an army of ecstatic symptoms which began to crawl over his body like an army of ants. He wept, he trembled violently, he rolled from his seat, he horripilated, he roared, wow, and finally fell into an unconscious state of ecstasy. So suddenly he came out of this ecstasy and he said, Reci, Reci, no, Reci means Croatian, speak more of this, and again fell to the ground, agitated by these emotions, devotional emotions. He started to kick everything. Sorry, I must be very, it's so nectarian, you even start to get into it, you know. And everything fell. The brass plates made a sound as if a gong. The spittoons fell all over the place, you know. All the small thing was kicked away. The beetle was throwing all over the place. The pillows, the bed sheets, everything became like a jungle, you know. He began tearing his fine cloth aside. And, you know, imagine he takes his nice cloth, you know. He rips it apart. He wept, he rolled in the dust, and he cried out, Oh Krishna!
Oh Krishna!
My Lord!
My Lord!
My soul!
My soul!
My very life!
My very life!
You have made my heart hard-hearted like a stone.
You have made my heart hard-hearted like a stone.
Yes. And he lamented and cried out, I have been deprived of the Lord's association in his most merciful incarnation. He rolled around. He crashed down on the ground. Those who were there thought, my God, he's breaking every bone of his body. And then he began to tremble. I don't know if you have ever seen a person trembling. There were three servants who jumped on him. They apparently knew already what had to be done, because it was not the first time that he got into this. And they tried to hold him down, but they were also thrown. Ones flew through the window. If he was really in ecstasy. When everything finally stopped, Pundarik lay on the ground, hardly breathing in his ecstasy, and it seemed as if the sun was just rising. You know, this is what I once saw Prabhupada getting into ecstasy. It was during Jayarada Madhava in Sri Mayapur. He was there, and it was very interesting. Prabhupada tried to really hard to control himself and not show his ecstasy to us neophytes. You know, you could really see he really tried to hold it back. But then all of a sudden the tears came, and then Prabhupada could not hold himself any longer. The tears was just streaming down, and Prabhupada did not show these external symptoms like, you know, movements of the body, he kept some amount of control. But what we all felt is that the emotions in his heart were just coming to all of us, and we felt something very, very wonderful. Something very, very wonderful. There's a very nice presentation on YouTube, which we saw in Munich, by one wonderful devotee. His name is Braj Kishore. And he has sung a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu describes his mind and gives an analogy for his mind. The analogy is that of a beggar who has left all comfort to beg for Krishna's remnants from, you know, very moving presentation. But you would have to multiply this by a million to understand what went on in Prabhupada. So when Gadadhar saw this, he who was trained, of course, in devotion from his childhood, could see, oh no. He began to greatly worry. He thought in his mind, what inauspicious thoughts have come over me so that I could think so offensively against the greatest of all devotees, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He embraced Mukunda, and with tears in his eyes he said, "You are my friend. You have brought me to this greatest of the devotees, and before I could make any offense, like make a face or go away, you know, or anything outwardly, you have seen my offense in my mind. You have seen he has devotion in his mind. I have offense in my mind. You have seen this. And you sang this verse from the Bhagavatam about Krishna's mercy to those who even show a little thing like devotion." I mean, Putana was practically only disguised like a devotee. Like many of us who are dressed as if for carnival, practicing, you know, as if we are great people. Yeah, he was really. You have seen, and you have brought the devotion out so that I could see it and not commit a verbal offense or a physical offense by going away. You have saved me today. You could read my mind. Now you must be merciful to me, Mukunda, and you must purify my heart. You must take me to this great soul, and you must beg him, because I'm too shy. I have made up my mind. Up till now I have not accepted a spiritual master. I have not surrendered myself, and I know we have to follow a great soul to also become great. You please take me by the hand and you introduce me to a Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Thus Gadadha Pandit revealed to Mukunda his desire to become a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda was extremely pleased with the decision and patted him on the back, saying, "Very good. Very good. Mission successful." This, I feel, is something which we can really learn. This pastime happened to instruct all of us in Navadvipa, while the great soul Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who in the eternal Leela is no one else than Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Radharani, eternal Krishna Leela, you know, so Pundarik Vidyanidhi later commented on Gadadhar. He said, a great jewel has come into my hands called Gadadhar. Who could ever be more fortunate than me who has a disciple like Gadadhar Parmeet? He said like this. Pundarik accepted him and was very affectionate in guiding Gadadhar. Now this is what the eternal associates, they displayed this lila here in this world so that we can learn a very important qualification, that is to be a little bit more forgiving and a little bit more merciful. So often in our association with devotees, we judge quickly by putting on a standard without ever seeing the amount of devotion and so on. I was thinking about this a few days ago when I prepared for the Govardhan retreat in India. You know, when Indra returned to Vrindavan, I should say Indra had attacked Krishna and the Vrajavasis because he felt upset and disturbed in his pride that a yajna which was done for him since a long, long time was on the order of Krishna, done now for Giriraj Govardhana Hill. He thought, am I not better than a stone? You know? He was like this. And to revenge himself, he had attacked the Brajbasis, wanting to kill them, and the cows also. Krishna, of course, had stopped him by lifting Govardhan Hill, and then afterwards, he, you know, when the Leela was over and the Brajbasis were asked by Krishna to get out under the umbrella of Giriraj, and Krishna had placed the hill back. You know, afterwards, the Brajbasis all sang about Krishna, the songs, and some carried him on their shoulders. Oh, our Krishna is really quite strong, you know, to lift a mountain. You have to say, but he's very clever. He must have done it by some. Who knows? And the coward boy thought, we chanted mantras. It was us who did it. So Krishna then said, you know, had a moment for himself. He went around Giriraj to inspect the damage, and then Indra came. But how did Indra came? He had a very bad conscience. His wife had told him, you must go and beg forgiveness. Indra said, I don't know if I can show my face now to Krishna. You must go, and better you don't come riding on your elephant, go by foot, you know, to show you're really humble, you're really sorry. So Indra came like this before Krishna. Wow. I'm so sorry. He didn't even dare to look at Krishna's face. And you know what Krishna said? Krishna said, oh Indra, out of your great affection, you must have come here. Please forgive me that I stopped the puja which was meant for you. Please forgive me. So sorry. Indra thought, what am I hearing? Right? Is he making a bad joke? You know, this is it. But he saw Krishna was serious. He saw that little good qualification. Indra had come to him. He had come to him. He had come to take darshan. That's an act of bhakti, no? To take darshan. He magnified that. And was willing to forgive Indra, who had just done the worstest you can do. The worstest offense you can do is to hurt Krishna's devotees. Krishna will not tolerate it. Doesn't. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't accept the devotions of someone who hurts and offends my devotees. He says, the chanting of the mantra, Hare Krishna, which he will do, this rascal does, who offends the devotees, will turn against this. He may take a bath in the Ganga to try to purify himself, but even the power of a Ganga bath will turn against someone who offends my devotees. This is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu says. So it's very important that we also correct our vision. Let us not see false. Let's try to see bhakti. That's more interesting. That's more, that requires more intelligence. I remember there's one devotee who I personally appreciate very, very much. He has left his body. He became like 108 years old. His name is Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, a great, he's a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, who supported his movement and also disciples in puja matters. I know he gave a Nishina mantra to His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj. And once he spoke about fallen devotees, you know, those who gave up the practice. He said, don't criticize them, because you don't know how many tears they have cried to Krishna, how much they have begged to be engaged in His service again. Don't criticize them. You know, trying to find the good in others is much, much, much better than trying to see the fault in others. And it requires more spiritual vision to see the fault that you can do with material vision, right? We can ask our Sangeeta. Sangeeta comes from a job in London, you know, and I think there must be a lot of mobbing. Oh, he did this, and look at him, and you know, he is incompetent. And, you know, is it mobbing when people talk bad about someone? Is it called mobbing? Criticizing, so much criticizing that any materialist can do, to criticize and to see the nose is a little like this, you know, and the ears a little bit here, too long, or goes a little bit, you know, that's all they do from morning till evening. But to find bhakti, that only a devotee can do. So why don't we specialize in our speciality, you know, that is to see that bhakti in someone and to try to fan it, that the little spark becomes a fire. This is what preachers have to do. You know what the preacher waits for when you preach to someone. You have to wait until he has a little faith that this could be good. And then the first thing you do with this little spark, you begin to fan it and you say something where you engage him in devotional service. Would you like to read a book? It's very good. Or would you like to eat some prasad? You try to bring that little thing that you detect a little higher by engaging him in service. That is what preachers do. They have to learn to see the good and in someone and just bring that out, you know, bring that, fan that. And I think if our society, if our community of devotees would specialize in this attitude, to see the little spark of bhakti and then to fan it. And not judge externally. But this is what we learn in this pastime. You know, then, very, very good. This is what in this lila is shown. Let us not ever make the mistake to think that Gadadhar Pandit was proud or that he had a material vision. But This is how the Leela was set up, because the Leela is done to nourish our bhakti. This is what a Leela, why Krishna does the Leelas, and why the associates do the Leela. They nourish our bhakti. That's why we also, when we hear the Leelas, we feel nourished in our Krishna consciousness. Oh yeah, it's a good point. Oh yeah, I will take care of this. So you have ample opportunity to do this. And in a few days, we expect a storm of devotees. Some will step on your toes when they dance. There are so many. You will see this temple room is rather small for such a group of devotees, especially when we do wild kirtan. I mean, you never know how the kirtans turn out. But we have Kadamba Karanam Maharaj. There is a guarantee for super ecstatic kirtans. You have ample opportunity. When something starts to disturb you, or you stand in your bathroom and the water stops flowing and you're full of soap, that's when I get, when it gets to me. And then I make noise that the people in the bath underneath me, please stop showering, so that the water comes to wash the soap off. When you get disturbed, in other words, try to now see the devotion, the bhakti in the other person. Make this exercise, and you will see great benefits in your spiritual life. You will see extraordinary benefits coming. The next time you get, you get upset, see the good, and then you will make true advancement. You will go to the area of what it means to be a devotee. We are so grateful to Gadadha, the greatest of all devotees, and to Mukunda and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, that they have come into our awareness and have displayed this pastime, because it really is. I just can see him before me. There are pictures. There's a very nice picture of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he's dressed with a brocade, nice things, and you can see from his hair, he has long hair up to here, all shining with oil. And, he really looks very, very, very beautiful, like the god of love himself. Even on the picture, he looks. Yes, was a test for Gadadha. Hare Krishna. Want to now see if you have any questions? Because here I could go on, but there's so much material. Next time, this evening, we will hear about Gadadha Pandit in Jagannath Puri, because he was one of the devotees who came with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu left Navadvipa and took sannyas and went to Puri, we will hear about his relationship to Tota Gopika. Maybe if we can find a slide of Tota Gopika, can we try to find? Maybe there's a method. We can show the devotees this particular slide. Any questions? Sri Nam Panamali Krishna Prabhu.
In your mountain, you find also mentioned of Gogada.
Yeah.
So, also now, on the beach where it's very common, it's the ocean, going back to Gogada, the one where, But now that you're explaining, it's seen as very much like Why is it that Shri
I repeat the question. The way we can relate to Gaur Gadadhar is the way we relate to Radhishyam. And that's true. There are many, many temples, and those who are in Madhurya Rasa, they worship Gadai Gaur, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did in his place in Surabhi Kunj. That's beautiful. How do they call them there? Deities? Gadai Gaur? Or, we saw them, but... Oh, Gaur Gadadhar. Gaur Gadadhar. Thank you. Yes, I remember Gaur Gadadhar. And now, why did Prabhupada, who encourages his followers to worship Radha Shyamasunda, why did he put not Gaur Gadadhar on the altars, but Nitai Gauranga? Why? It's a very, very interesting question which you have. And here Prabhupada did clearly make something which is even an expansion of what his own spiritual master did. Did you know that in the temples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we never find Nityananda and Gauranga? We always find Gauranga alone, implying that, and he's next placed next to the Radha Krishna deities, implying that Radha Shyamasunda or Radha Krishna have become one in Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There's no Nityananda, because just like Balaram is never there when there are intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna, out of courtesy, the older brother is there, Krishna. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shown alone on the deity. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he had this reasoning. He thought that when he went to the West, that the West, the people, and also Indians, are now in Kali Yuga very fallen. Very fallen. I mean, not a little fallen, but very fallen. And he reasoned that Nityananda was even more merciful to the fallen than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something which we can see in the pastimes of delivering Jagai and Madai. When Jagai and Madai were Madai was hurting Gauranga, not Gauranga, Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, and he was coming to the place where Nityananda was bleeding on his forehead and where these two drunkards were there, and he had his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was ready to kill the two. It was there. It was invoked. It was invoked. It's as far as I have heard, but I may not know the entire Chaitanya Lila, the only time where Gauranga was so upset that he gave away his disguise of being a devotee, and he just showed for everyone. There was the chakra, a huge thing, you know, like this temple room. It was just revolving. It was ready to just kill the two. Nitai said, "No, don't do it, my lord. And I request you, please do not do it." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took back the chakra on the request of Nitai. So Nityananda is more merciful than Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That's the idea. And therefore, our Srila Prabhupada installed Chaitanya Nityananda. And he even went further. He wanted to show how Chaitanya, Nityananda are in this Kali Yuga the main incarnations and of Krishna Balaram. So he put to show that there is a relationship between Krishna Balaram and Chaitanya Nityananda, he placed Krishna Balaram in the central altar, which was a pure merciful gesture. I mean, it's clear Prabhupada is from childhood a worshipper of Radha Govinda. He is a devotee of Radha Krishna. That's his Ishta. These are his Ishtas. But for preaching purposes, to deliver the most fallen, he went into the Gonitai, and he installed them everywhere. Because Gonitai don't accept offenses, whereas Krishna and Syams, Radhe Syam do accept it. I mean, you have to be careful with them. You can't commit offenses. Gonitai are foolproof, you know, or offensive proof. That is his idea. Now about the worship of Golgadatta in amongst Prabhupada's followers. You are more aware of deities in Iskon. There must be devotees who worship them, or I have also not seen them. In Panchatantra, thank you. In Panchatantra, we worship like this. It's a very confidential tattva. And why it is so confidential, we will hear this evening. There is not so much, it's very confidential, and I had to do a lot of research to bring out what I will talk about this evening. But thank you for asking, because you are already paving the way for this evening's lecture. It's very confidential. We have to move very carefully this evening. Like angels, we have to almost float over the ground to enter this very secret channel of our philosophy. Prahlad Maharshi, Prabhupada. Please. There's also a family connection to him. His ancestors are there. But thank you very, very much, Prabhupada. Thank you, Prahlad Maharshi. You, I will say it for the recording. Prahlad Maharshi Prabhu has contributed something which he has heard from his Guru Maharaj, that Gadadhar lived in Puri as a Chetra Sannyasi. That is, he did not leave the Dham, whereas Lord Nityananda was traveling, expanding the preaching, and even after his disappearance, his wife continued, and their child Veerabhatra continued expanding the preaching movement. Srila Prabhupada did obviously appreciate that very much. And the Namhatta, yes, the Namhatta, which is a concept of spreading the holy name, or a tool of spreading the holy name all over. Thank you. Good. Would you please do a favor? Try to develop this seeing the bhakti in the other person today. This is your active learning exercise. Yeah. Here's the last question. What is your good name, please? Rasana. Yeah. The question is, can you tell us the difference between correcting someone and criticizing someone? I have a quick answer, but I want to think for a moment about it. Criticizing comes from the mood of, almost destroying a person, and correcting is done from the mood of building a person up. I want to give you an example of these two things. Once there was a Brahmana who said, in this age of Kali, there are no true Vaishnavas. He criticized all the Vaishnavas per se. He said, in this age of Kali, everyone is just a pretender, not one single Vaishnava. This Brahmana suffered because of this criticism, because it's not true, there are many good devotees. And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu visited as a sannyasi Navadvipa Dham, and he said, my lord, I criticized Vaishnavas by just saying, per se, they are all pretenders. There's no real one. Then Mahaprabhu corrected him. you wanted to know the difference between criticism and correction. And listen to what he did. He said, O Brahmana, with your mouth, you have spoken an offense. The Brahmana had said to him, I made a terrible offense. I just said there's no real Vaishnava. So Mahaprabhu said, sorry. With your mouth, you have criticized the Vaishnavas. You should now do the following. You should praise the Vaishnavas with the same mouth. When you drink poison with your mouth, you must use the same mouth to drink nectar. And then the disease will be stopped. This is called correcting. He gave him something so that he could come out of his misery and out of his mistake. Is this clear to you? Not entirely, then please ask it. Yes, the motivation and also correcting means not just the motivation, it means you do something or say something which will help. You say, when you do like this, it is not so good. It's not good. Do like that. That is better. Like yesterday, Sharanga Thakur lovingly corrected me. I drank apple juice and afterwards I wanted to drink milk. But then it makes cheese in the stomach and it's not healthy. So Sharanga lovingly said, no, it is better to just drink apple juice and not milk, because it will create a problem in your stomach. That was correct. I mean, you will not be happy with hearing that. But that was, he gave the right tip. Drink apple juice, but only apple juice. No milk after this. So correcting is you give someone something which builds him up. Criticizing, you just finished. Correcting means, you say that this is not so. here is a good thing. Yeah. It's a total different thing. Please.
Rakta means blind. Correct means to put someone back in line.
Oh yeah.
Kriti means pain. Kritika means go against his pain. Try to put him down.
Oh yeah. you know many nice things, Varanashi. No, really. I'm saying
this. There's one nakshatra out of the 27 is Kritika nakshatra.
Yeah.
So the person who passes this nakshatra is very Kritika.
Acha. He's cutting. Yes, taking away the. Yeah. And what was it called? The line, putting on the line. Yes, helping that he gets back on the right road. You know, and moves on. Thank you. Please always. I'm highly interested in these things. Please always. Contribute freely. Yeah. No, why? This is an enhancement. We want to learn. So, oh, here comes a little Sanskrit. Kritik. We all know Sanskrit is the mother of all language, we have to say. It informs the Latin language, which is the mother of European languages. At least there, and kritik, the word rikta, kriti, yes. So someone who is a kritika, he's cutting the fame, whereas correcting, there is a word rakta, which is line, putting back on the line, on the right road. Thank you. Amazing. Amazing. Good. So I think this was a very good question. Thank you very much. It was an essential question to the lecture because we need to know, you know, how to deal with this. So let us end here, and I see you this evening for the second. It's actually already the third part. We just can't get let Gadata Pandit go out of our seminar. I have many other persons, but we get stuck with Gadada Pant. That's nice. So at 7 o'clock we continue. I wish you a wonderful day, and please keep this in mind. We have already now learned different things about the associates of the Vaishnavas. To purify our heart was the first lesson, by understanding we are an eternal soul and acting on that platform and understanding and going towards Krishna. We have to purify our heart. Second was how to do that. We have to hear and chant, hear about Krishna, chant his holy name. And today was not seeing things external, but seeing the bhakti which is inside and bringing out that bhakti. All this is what we want to apply in our life here and while staying on the Singha Chetra. And if we do this well, it's called Singhachalam. If we do this well, we hope that in our lives we will be excellent, we will form an excellent Vaishnava community. That's the whole idea. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.